Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Talktainment Radio. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. And I'm Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew. This is radio the way it should be heard. This afternoon, I have a special guest, and he's my spouse, Judge Grady L. Pettigrew. And he's a Vietnam veteran, and I'm delighted to co-host with him today because we're dedicating this show to our veterans. And today he has some wonderful guests, and welcome, Judge Pettigrew.
Thank you, Dr. Pettigrew. Let me take a moment to ask our guests, because they're all from the Chalmers P. Wiley Veterans Administration Ambulatory Care Center, here in Columbus, Ohio. And starting with you, Mr. Prince Taylor, would you identify yourself and then your colleagues and team members? I'm asking they identify themselves for our audience.
Yeah, that's fair enough. They've practiced. My name is Prince Taylor. I am the Deputy Director for VA Voluntary Service. Normally, I work out of D.C., but I am here in Columbus, enjoying myself and acting as the Chief of Voluntary Service and the Acting Chief of Public Affairs for Chalmers.
And I am Jessica Horseman. I'm the Pain Social Work Coordinator and the Whole Health Point of Contact at our facility.
And I'm Heather Seymour. I'm a social worker and I am the Creative Arts Coordinator of the Veterans Arts Initiative.
Can I just say that I know that you wanted the director and all of that level of people here, and they send their regrets. They really wanted to come because they sat in with you and your wife last year. They had a great time, but because of work, they're not able to. And I just wanted to make sure I gave their regrets to you all. They really enjoyed you.
Well, we enjoyed them, too, and please give our greetings to them.
Yes.
And we know that they're well represented here today.
Two out of three is not bad.
Let me go to the first question, because I use the term Wiley because that's where I get my medical care as a veteran. But what is the Wiley Veterans Administration Ambulatory Care Center?
Okay, well, I think a lot of people get a little confused by ambulatory care center. All that means is that we are an outpatient healthcare facility. So we don't have inpatient beds. I can list down all of the things that we do, but for the most part, that's the biggest difference between us and one of our other medical facilities.
And of course, if somebody needs to be hospitalized, you facilitate taking them from there to one of our local hospitals, right?
Yes, yes.
And I think the closest inpatient veterans hospital are either Dayton or Cincinnati.
Well,
or Chillicothe.
Chillicothe, yeah. And I mean, with the CHOICE Act under the Obama administration and with Mission Act now, a lot of us have a lot of different choices.
Okay, that's, yes.
I'd also like to add, we recently extended our urgent care hours. Mm-hmm. And so now we offer extended hours through the night and also weekend and holidays, which we otherwise in past didn't have that. So if our veterans were having a medical crisis on the weekends, they would, you know, go see a provider out in the community and then probably worry, am I going to get charged for this? And so we expanded those hours and heard some of those complaints and were able to fix that.
Well, I guess the first question that comes to my mind in this whole process, you serve American veterans. What is a veteran?
A veteran can be anyone that served in the U.S. military. But we don't just serve veterans. I want to be clear about that, too. Our mission statement came to us from Lincoln during his second inaugural address. Mm-hmm. And so, and we've expanded it, but he charged us with taking care of the veteran, his widow, and his orphan. As we know, it's not just a he anymore. And so we take care of our female vets and her widower and her orphans as well. And if you talk to anyone working at the VA today that knows what we're doing, and they all should, we're also trying to take care of the caregivers of our veterans. And so we just keep expanding because we understand that all of those things help us take better care of our veterans.
Well, in today's, your experience today, do you have veterans from all era going back to World War II?
Go back further.
Further?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we were still taking care of people from, and this is going to sound crazy, but the Civil War. We were still taking care of people from the Civil War, not people that fought in the Civil War,
okay,
but their descendants. Because when you talk about VA, it's not just the healthcare system. The first part of VA was actually our National Cemetery Administration.
Okay.
And so that happened. Of course, everyone knows about the benefits with the guaranteed home loan, the student loan. It's not a student loan, the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the GI Bill. And so we're pretty diverse. We try to take care of vets in a lot of different ways.
Well, I know that the discussion about the dependents and the spouse and all, that's becoming, at least in the circles that I talk, that's becoming more widely known. But the big thing is that I don't care where you go, you encounter vets who don't know what resources are available to them.
Which is why you are so important.
Okay. Well, thank you. Ms. Washington started with said it starts with enrollment. What does that mean to you?
Well, I agree with Tracy 1,000%, but even before enrollment, it starts with trust. You're not going to enroll with us if you don't trust us to take care of you. And so we have to make sure that that our veterans and their family and everyone else knows that we are a facility that's there to take care of them, and that they can trust us to do that. And so after that, then we can start with the enrollment.
A piece of our whole health initiative is to outreach folks that are newly transitioned from active military to veteran status. And there's a huge emphasis on finding those folks and introducing them to the VA and to the new way of the VA, which is through whole health efforts. And we also encourage folks that maybe aren't enrolled in our facility to participate in some, we call it Intro to Whole Health. And we are specifically targeting not only enrolled veterans, but unenrolled veterans in hopes that we can gain their trust and that they can learn what the VA has to offer to them.
Well, then, first, tell us what whole health means in current parlance.
Sure. So our whole health initiative started about 2 years ago, really being rolled out as a transformative way of delivering health care. So that sounds all big and pretty. And so the way I break it down is that it's proactive care, and it's patient-driven and patient-centered care. And it's care that the veteran, what's important to the veteran, how the veteran defines their health, what they want their health for. And so there's a couple different ways that the veteran can engage in whole health. One of the ways that we engage in whole health as a facility is by training our providers to provide that transformative health care, to ask the veteran, what is it that you want your health for? What is it that you find to bring you joy and a sense of purpose versus what are you here for? What's wrong with you, right? And then with that, the whole health model has really supported complementary and integrative health services. Those are things like yoga, tai chi, meditation, all of these really evidence-based models of delivering healthcare. So again, taking and transforming healthcare from being a disease-focused to really encouraging veterans to use their own innate ability to work through whatever is kind of ailing them and to find what brings them a sense of joy and happiness.
Then are you engaged in having to re-educate a number of veterans about your activities and what's available?
Yeah, so we have a couple options for our veterans to understand more about the whole health model. One of it's called Intro to Whole Health. So very simple. But what's really amazing about Introduction to Whole Health is it's actually led by veteran peers. So it's a veteran to veteran 2-hour session learning about whole health. And what I think is so great about that is, again, we're transforming healthcare into saying it's not a I'm the clinician, you're the veteran. It's veteran to veterans working together in some peer support. And so our veterans are able to attend that session twice per month. So we offer it twice per month, at the beginning of the month and at the end of the month, for 2 hours. And they can come, they can bring their family members. They don't have to be enrolled in the VA, as I had previously said. And I do a lot of outreach in the community to get folks that maybe are unenrolled to come to the VA to also have that opportunity to learn more. So the peer piece is really helpful. That's how we're educating our veterans. We also are educating our providers in what whole health is so that the kind of stream of information can flow through the clinical encounters. So when a veteran meets with a social worker and that a veteran meets with the primary care physician, they're maybe asking these questions about what do you find to be your purpose in life? What do you want your health for? And then they can start to look at a personalized health plan, which is a way of the veteran really identifying where their needs are at and then formulating a treatment plan from there.
I guess I've seen this increase in referral from the attending physician saying, why don't we send you over to such and such and have a look. I don't think that was quite as prominent 9-10 years ago as it is now. And it's also interesting because my father happened to be a World War II veteran and had a number of medical issues, not just wounds, but and there, it was almost like, and I'm a teenager watching this, it was almost like he was being tolerated. Mm-hmm. Now, that was not the facility here. That was a facility in Northern Ohio. And it was always quite a burden to go there. But he had to go in order to get medications, and there were just any number of reasons. But it was not delivered honoring the veteran. It was like, we have to tolerate you while you're here. So I'm just glad to hear the changes that we've seen.
Well, you're talking about two things that Jessica sort of touched on without going too deep with. A lot of times, and this isn't just in healthcare, this is across the board with a lot of people, they focused on outputs. And now we're starting to focus on outcomes. So yeah, the output might, the example I usually give is McDonald's makes hamburgers. I don't know if you guys have a Five Guys or anything like that up here. Mm-hmm. They also make hamburgers. That's the output. But the outcome is, what does that hamburger taste like? And so what Jessica was sort of alluding to earlier is the difference between a customer service, which is, yeah, let me treat you, to the customer experience, which is, how do we treat you the way you want to be treated? I hope that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're sort of more focused on now today in the VA.
And we do want to empower our veterans as well. I think when a veteran comes in and is being directed to do something, it takes that passion or that drive away from the veteran, and it just kind of dictates to them what they need to do. And so the whole health model really empowers and equips the veteran to make the choices that are the most meaningful to them versus something that's being prescribed.
It's more sustainable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, if you have a partnership on the care, it doesn't matter who's delivering it, it's going to be better than the old model, which was the doctor was the speaking with the force of God, that I said it, you'll do it, as opposed to, because one of the things I've learned in just the last couple of years, how you take your medicine, the timing, the dosage, and in some cases the combination that has been used has an impact on your overall health. And that's why the pharmacy and those pharmacists are important in being able to talk with them, because if you take a pill that you needed to take at 8 o'clock in the morning and you take it at 8 o'clock at night, you have reduced the effectiveness of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that. And one of the unfortunate experiences that my wife and I had earlier this year, we were at a lunch and a Korean War veteran had just learned that his heart condition was going to require medications of $5,000 a month. And they were discussing selling their house. He was proud of the fact that he had never gone to VA for medical services. He says when he first got out, they embarrassed him, they looked down on him and whatever, so he was proud of the fact he had never gone back. The thing that he learned that day was the discussion about selling their house could be totally avoided because his medical care, he was eligible for that medical care through the VA, mm-hmm. and his wife informed us that their next stop was going to be the Wiley, because shifting from selling our house to going out there for enrollment made a lot of sense to her. Mm-hmm. And this, like I said, it was a Korean War veteran, so it wasn't a matter of, you know, whimsical. No, this was serious business. So that's one of the reasons why veterans knowing is so important. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we still have many, I know you encounter them, but we still have many veterans who do not know what has been set aside for them, what's provided to them, and they simply operate on misinformation.
And that's exactly it. One of the problems is that a lot of people get their information about the VA just through mm-hmm. normal media channels, and they are trying to sell advertisements. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for typically, not all the time, not all of the stations, but typically you get more clicks, you get more viewers when you have bad stories. One of the things that Ms. Hudson and I have spoken about, and I've heard the secretary talk about this, I've heard the deputy talk about this, just last month, that we need people like you and your listeners to be advocates for us, mm-hmm. because as big as the VA is, we can't do it on our own. I mean, doing it on our own was the outputs. Doing it on our own was the customer service. And now we know that we need all of these strategic partnerships with anyone that can hear my voice, anyone that I meet, anyone that has a good experience at the VA. Don't keep that to yourself. Share it with other people, mm-hmm. because that's how you encourage your fellow veterans to sign up and enroll.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know something that I came in contact with not very long ago was the fact that artwork has become a part of the medical resources or the supportive resources that the veterans services are using. Is that true?
It is. We actually have a very unique opportunity here at the Columbus VA. The Veterans Arts Initiative is in its second year. And we really have kind of three prongs to our program. One is the actual physical workshops. So we provide theater, dance, writing, filmmaking, and visual arts. And then we also go out into the community to the Wexner Center for Vets at the Wex. And that's a contemporary art discussion group. We also go to the Columbus Museum of Art. And we've most recently started going to the National Veterans Memorial and Museum. So these are all opportunities. A lot of our
workshops are with veterans who are a little uneasy about joining the VA, so this is kind of a step in the right direction to create that bridge, to create that trust that Prince was talking about. We have a workshop over at Tandy Leather on the third Thursday of the month, so we have one tomorrow. People can meet us there. So if veterans are not enrolled, they can meet us out in the community if we're having a community event, and then get to know the facilitator, get to know the other veteran peers, and then hopefully create some trust so that they'll be able to come in and enroll and start getting their benefits.
Well, one of the things that I've seen is that when people express themselves through art, a lot more comes out than just the time of the, if it's on paper, the painting they make or the drawing. And I saw over near the audiology clinic, there was artwork, a lot of artwork over there. So even people who are visiting could go and see some of the work that's done. Now, I've never been to the theater or the dancer, but that those are all inclusive under the concept of art. And certainly,
yes.
We need that kind of engagement.
Yeah.
Has that activity at the Wiley grown in the 2 year period?
It has grown hugely, exponentially. So when we first started off, we were doing an open art studio. So we have materials and space for veterans and their family members. So that's really another unique part of this, is that all of our workshops are open and encouraged for veterans, caretakers, family, children to attend. We have certain ones that focus on just female veterans. We have other workshops that really encourage children to come. We know that the barriers, especially with younger veterans, is childcare. So we try to incorporate an environment where children are welcome. In one of our open studios on Tuesdays, we have a female veteran that comes in with her 8-month-old now. And in the beginning of it, I got to hold the baby. So I was very excited about that. And now he, someone else brought in a little mat for the young little guy, and so it's just been amazing that this new mom has found her community of veteran grandmothers who are just dying to hold this little kiddo so that she can make art. And so we also have opportunities for veterans to come in if they're on food assistance, they have any kind of socioeconomic hardship, that they can come in and get monthly art materials. So we call that program Art Pantry. So much like a art or a food pantry, you can get art materials.
So in addition, there are some benefit specialties under the Franklin County Veterans Service Commission, economic and what have you. You have those kind of resources to help in this art project.
So we work closely with a lot of different veterans service organizations. So I have a lot of people referred over from the veterans service organizations. And so we don't ask for anyone to show their WIC card or, you know, if you really need to make art, in my eyes, you need to make art.
Mm-hmm.
Folks that are coming in, we've seen amazing developments in not just their social connectiveness, but their quality of life. So I want to circle back. So we have actual physical workshops. We're also doing research on the psychological and health benefits of art making. So we've had two research projects that we are writing up. And so we're really trying to figure out that art dose that is needed. And what we found is that people's anxiety has significantly gone down just in a 5 or 6 week art workshop. Depression's ratings have gone down. Social connectiveness has gone up. Quality of life has gone up. And the really interesting thing that we didn't really think about measuring in the first research study was all the secondary outcomes, like people getting jobs, people forming relationships, and going out doing things on the weekends, and then I get to hear about them, and it's like it's incredible the number amount of stories that I hear every day of, you know, this has really changed my life. Or one veteran, he came to us in a wheelchair. He left the first research study walking without a walker. And that was because he became engaged with Jessica and her pain management program, and he, that he didn't know existed. So a lot of these are relationship based. And you touched on the communication, and how we need to improve that. And we are the first ones, who are trying to figure out how do we get the message out of how many different programs we have, how many different opportunities. So that's something that we're looking at really seriously and trying to figure out what are the best ways of spreading the love, really.
That's such an important element, because what I see is that a number of veterans are grouped by the era. That Vietnam vets, if you look at how they will self-select, they'll be over there and they'll talk, and they start out by complaining about their service, because there was a draft during the time.
Right.
They'll complain and whatever, and then they'll start talking to each other about stuff that's important. And the Gulf War, the VIF, IOF, whatever those letters are, they will group differently. But what is unique is they all have a common experience. Because right now, what is it, less than 1% of Americans serve in the military service?
Yes.
There's an earlier time when that was a higher number. And there is a common experience, even if it's nothing, from the insecurity of leaving home and going somewhere and being totally under the control of another organization, which most people can remember their basic training and that sort of thing. I guess one of the things that is a mystery is how do we not only engage veterans, their dependents, and the close ones, but the broader community? I know that's what you do. So how do you do that? I see the commercials in November. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. We had a veteran on the show whose response is, thank you for your support.
Mm.
Now, that's a pretty challenging statement, because not everybody... You know that, and not everybody is supporting veterans. Some of them are just critical. So how do you get that broader?
Well, first, I want to say that part of your question earlier to Heather about how did it grow exponentially, she's why it grew exponentially.
Okay.
She is. I've only been here about 6 weeks or so, and I've known her to think outside of the box since day one.
So I would disagree with that. It's really been the veterans who used to rally around each other, and the Veterans Arts Council, which has now become the Veterans Advisory Board, and they really pushed me in ways that I never thought I could be pushed.
So first we're going to let him compliment you, and then we're
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I love praise. I love complimenting people. It's a lot of gratitude, a lot of gratefulness I get out of that. So your question again was, how do we get the word out?
Yeah.
Well, I was speaking about that earlier with our advocates. Being in voluntary service, we have a national advisory committee, and that's made up of a lot of veteran service organizations like Salvation Army, like the Red Cross, like DAV, VFW, American Legion.
Okay.
I could go on. And so they help us get the word out, but also doing things like this, outreach events, and thinking outside the box. Our partnerships with universities like OSU and different colleges and stuff like that also help.
Well, we still have much to talk about. We were in the warm-up, we were examining that. Mm-hmm. I need to tell our listeners, talktainmentradio.com. We go where you go. Podcasts are available. Download talktainmentradio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We have more for you on the Veterans Special Care on talktainmentradio.com.
Thank you. Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals, or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah, anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
This is Dr. K.
Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is Faith and Family. And today I have a special edition with my husband, Judge Grady L. Pettigrew, and we're saluting the veterans today.
Thank you, Dr. Pettigrew. We were talking just before we took a couple of moments about the art program. And you indicated that you are getting a good bit of support for that program. Support in what way? What's happening?
So the partnerships that we have made have just been so inspiring. Whether it be the Columbus Museum of Art, the library, Metropolitan Library, they gave us a show of veterans' artwork 2 years ago. It was up for about a month. The Ohio State Fair gave us a 40 by 60 square foot space this past summer to have a veteran-specific art show. That show saw over 58,000 people, I think, came through and saw the work. So these are incredible ways that we can outreach into the different communities. City of Columbus, Zane Jones, being the veteran liaison, is always interested in what's going on. He's always asking me to send the calendar of events. He's always just a call away to help figure out how we can get things done. The museum has been a wonderful partner, ongoing excitement about how we can collaborate together, whether that be Rally Point on Saturdays or possible exhibits. It's just, you know, Prince said it earlier, we can't do this alone. And we know that there are so many folks out there who we haven't reached yet. And we know that we really need to try in different ways. We can't just stay at James Road in order to reach the most vulnerable. And we also know that the families and friends of veterans are the ways that we're going to get veterans in the door that really need to be there. I've heard from some folks that they've come to our door a dozen times without coming in the door. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until wife literally dragged them by their ear to get in. And, you know, we really need to partner not just with organizations, but also with family members and allowing that information grow so that they have some education and some knowledge of whole health. And the wonderful thing about whole health is, you know, it's not just a program, it's a lifestyle, it's a cultural change, not just at the VA, but it's a change within your own being and your own behavior. And it's based on mindfulness and community.
Well, thank you. And we're glad that program is being successful here because Columbus does reflect a lot of unity. The organizations bind together.
Absolutely.
We were talking earlier about including the families and dependents. Mm-hmm. And we really need to address that a little bit more in depth. What are you doing for families and dependents?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that we're doing. I'll let Prince explain a really awesome program that he's spearheading nationwide that's new. But what I can say in terms of whole health is obviously we invite veterans to bring their family members to our introduction to whole health. Oftentimes, our veterans are accompanied by caretakers, spouses, partners, and our hope is that veterans start to engage in personalized health plans, and included in a personalized health plan would be things that would include family members, and oftentimes we can have family members there who can help the veteran guide themselves through what their goals may be with a personalized health plan, and also just get them engaged in healthcare services. So if a veteran has particular goals, obviously the care team wants to support them, but also we know family members are really important in terms of supporting them, getting them to their appointments, all those things that they may need. Recently, the Mission Act extended and expanded our caregiver support program as well, and they're rolling it out in different phases. And so one of the pieces is to expand some caregiver services to our different veteran eras. So right now we have caregiver support just for folks who have been affected after 9/11. But we're looking at expanding it to our Vietnam veterans as well and their caretakers. But Whole Health works very closely with the caregiver support program in terms of supporting family members, caretakers, and then the family unit as a whole and engaging them in their community.
Right. You want me to talk about one of I'm very excited about okay. this program. It actually has been in pilot for like 10 years. Before I got the position that I have now, and when I started hearing about it, I was like, that's the longest pilot ever. That's not supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we started a campaign of awareness and of just putting packages together so that it could expand. Because these ladies, they were incredible, but they kept flying under the radar, and no one knew about the great work they were doing except in those pockets of the country. And so we did a TEDx at the VA, where one of the people got to talk about it, and we started going to things like advisory committees. We spoke to the VAVS, Voluntary Service Advisory Committee. We spoke with the Women's Centers Advisory Committee, and we also got an audience with the Chief of Staff of VHA. And the first thing he said was, well, how can I make something like this happen? And we didn't really have an answer besides give us a lot of money. And so we had to go back to the drawing board and get creative. And we came up with all these different ways to expand it. And what the program is, I'm telling you all of this stuff to say that it used to be what I considered VA's best kept secret, but it's not a secret anymore. It's called the Volunteer In-Home Visitor Program. And it started for those OEF, OIF vets after 9/11. But it turned out that they didn't really want it. They felt they were too young. And they were like, I don't really want this. And so rather than let the program die, the social workers, we're talking about partners. We don't just need external partners. Within VA, we need it to become internal partners as well. The secretary's number one priority is customer service, customer experience. And he always says he doesn't just mean with our vets. He means peer-to-peer, employee-to-employee. And so the social workers came and they said, you know, I have some socially isolated vets that have been coming here from the Vietnam era, from World War II, Korea War, what have you, and they could use a program like this. We hadn't considered that, but once we started it, it really just took off. And what we found is that a lot of these families, a lot of these couples, the woman might have met the guy when she was 19, he was 20, 21, young and strapping and everything, prime of his life. He goes off to war. He comes back. He's not the same person, but they're married. She's with him now. And all of a sudden, he starts breaking down physically, maybe mentally, maybe emotionally. I mean, just in all these different ways, ways that she didn't sign up for. But she's there. And she feels alone, too. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about suicide prevention, I hope. I started seeing numbers that were showing that a lot of our caregivers were committing death by suicide before our veterans. And we don't shy away from that number, because if we shy away from it, that means we're not acknowledging that there's a problem. And if you don't acknowledge there's a problem, you can't begin to fix it, which is why when you asked about it, I said, yes, we need to talk about it, and we can do that in due time. But the reason why I love this program is because not only does it give those people, and it's not just women, but it gives those caregivers respite, it also helps to alleviate a lot of that social isolation of the veterans. I heard one story where a lady said that once her husband got ill, his friends stopped coming around. Mm-hmm. And so all he had was her, which meant she was consumed by him. Mm-hmm. And no one should really be in that mm-hmm. type of position 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So now we send friendly visitors in, and like Heather was saying earlier, we started with the outputs, and we started seeing these outcomes. Mm. So less social isolation meant less depression, and we all know that depression leads to suicidal ideations. And for the caregivers, they're less anxious because they know that there's a steady person coming in where they can take a nap, go get their hair done, go watch a movie, just not have to worry about anything for a few hours each week. And for the VA, we're we're connecting with the community again. And so there's a whole lot of wonderful positive outcomes from this.
I've heard a lot of things I had not heard about this. That's worth the price of admission today.
Thank you.
I do, because time is winding down. I do want to talk about what's in the news media, the whole issue of suicide among veterans, and the fact that Veterans Administration has an aggressive program aimed at suicide prevention. Tell us about.
Okay. Well, I just want to name drop Lori Murphy, if anyone is interested in the Volunteer In-Home Visitor Program, because she's doing wonderful things with it. I'm there now, but I won't be there forever, and I know that I'm leaving it in good hands. So what we're doing, right? Well, we're not doing enough, I'll tell you that. And we know we're not doing enough. We're losing 20 veterans a day to death by suicide. Of those 20, and correct me if I'm wrong about this statistic, I think only 14 are being seen and the other six are not being seen by the VA. I don't know if it's either that or it's the flip.
I think it's 16 haven't been seen in the last year.
So 16. So I had it backwards and I even had the numbers wrong. And so that's why we were talking about the partnerships again, because as big as VA is, as much money as Congress has poured into VA, because they have, is not enough. We need people like you, people that are listening, and all of our family and friends to say, my dad needs help. My brother or my sister needs help. Can you help us, VA? And then we can step in and work together.
Well, one of the things that is clear is that we have to share real information.
Yes.
Not complaining. And there's a lot of complaining goes on.
Some is legitimate.
Well, that may be true, but not very much gets done if all you do is complain. What we find is that sharing information has much more positive effect on us, as well as hopefully the community. And the reason that's so important is because there are solutions, there are aids, and many people don't know them and don't know where they are. So you have the vet service organizations, and they have their programs and projects. But in many cases, they're focused on one particular thing. DAV has a big thing on motorized wheelchairs because that offers independence and all. Well, the leadership at DAV is going to determine that this is something for them to use to make their mark. But we need a mark in every area, because the isolation we have, there are two impacts. One is what happens when the veteran is suffering that decline that you mentioned, because it can go on for a long time.
Yes.
And the other is after the veteran is lost here on earth, we believe, as a spiritual being that moved to a higher plane. But the fact of the matter is we have close friends who are suffering from that, the absence of that spouse of 40-some years. So these are not minor situations, and for many people they need to know that there is help. Where that help is, we have friends who are in the Nashville area, and they have the in-home volunteers. It's made all the difference in the world, because our friend didn't even know it existed until it was offered, and then once she accepted it, it made all kinds of difference there.
I've had Gold Star and Blue Star mothers say that they wish that they had a program like this back in the day.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole special group of angels, and we don't have time to talk about them today, because we have a friend who is a bereavement officer after the Gulf Wars, and you're not talking about folk back in the Vietnam area. We're talking about people who are very young,
right?
And she daily went visiting people. That's heavy duty. So she was a major, but that she needed to be a major. She needed to be a general to carry out that. I guess in terms of the fact that this show will be available in a number of areas, not just the continental United States, because we have evidence of it being listened to in places like Germany and Guam. But that's not the point. The point is, before we leave, are there things that you want to make sure that we put in front of our audience, because once they click on the show, they listen to the
whole
thing.
You really want to ask us that question?
Yes, I do.
You're talking about people that are advocates for the VA.
We are
part of a changing culture. The first thing I want to say, and it's information that I think it just dropped yesterday, and I wrote it down, and this is the most recent information. It says August, but in August, our SHEP scores, either of you know what SHEP stands for, Survey, Healthcare, Excellence Practitioner, something like that. It's a good thing. Our SHEP scores are in our primary care department was first in the VISN in provider rating and office staff, which is amazing to me because the office staff they're talking about are their medical support assistants, which are very low graded, and they're like at half staff, half staffing level, but they're still rated number one in the VISN, and that's because of their dedication and their commitment to the mission of the VA and those folks here in Columbus. So I just wanted to say that. I was very happy to get that information.
Well, and
that's nice.
A right to be proud of it, too.
Yes.
Yes, right.
That actually makes a lot of sense because in some of our whole health education, I've had a number of medical support assistants come up to me and say that they feel really passionate about whole health and serving veterans. A lot of them are veterans themselves and want to get involved, which is great because a lot of the foundational piece of whole health is involving peer-to-peer. So for me, I think the message that I want to get out from my point of view and my role as the whole health point of contact is if a veteran comes to their appointment, ask about whole health, because I'm going to charge all of our staff members to start that conversation, but know that it's there, and it's not just a specific program. It's the way we're transforming healthcare, and that if you have a goal in mind, share it with your provider. If you feel like your provider doesn't have any time, it doesn't matter. You talk to them about it. You know, really talk about what brings you joy, what you want your health for, all of those things. I think sometimes we get stuck with going and seeing our provider and just sitting there and telling them what's going on, you hear the response and then you leave. You know, see if you can open up that communication, because I'm really charging our staff members to start that conversation.
So, three things. First, I want to make sure everyone out there knows that we have a walk-in same-day service for mental health. So, if anyone is needing someone to talk to, please come. Please come. The second thing is that we are really lucky to have all these community partnerships. And as I said, we can't do it alone. So if you have a great idea, reach out to me. Reach out to anyone. We have an innovation specialist. It's her job to think outside of the box. And she is full of beans and has great ideas. But the ideas really need to be co-designed by veterans. So the third thing is that we need to hear what we're doing well and what we're not doing well. So one way you can become involved in helping us really create a safe community and a loving community is to join an advisory board, whether it be the Veterans Advisory Board within VAI or within Veterans Experience or within behavioral health. And we can definitely give you the numbers to direct you in the right way. But we really need to partner with not just community members, but with veterans in order to create the VA that we know we are.
Why not give those numbers? Can you give those contact numbers?
Sure. So for the Veteran Advisory Board through the Veterans Arts Initiative, you can call me at 614-388-7607, and I can connect you with the veteran peer who takes charge of that. Dustin's number, I will have to follow up with you. Maybe we could have it on the website. Mm-hmm. Would that be possible?
Yes. The other thing is, let's get the general number for the Wiley, because your
I don't have that off the top of my head.
It's 614-257-5200.
Yeah, and that address for the Wiley Center?
420 North James Road.
Okay.
Columbus 43219. These people using GPS systems.
Can I? I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I also say that we're talking about veterans, but we also love our volunteers. I'm the deputy director of voluntary service. I'm here as in my capacity as VAO or PAO, but also if people are interested in volunteering, they can either come down or they can click the button on the website that we just gave you.
Okay, good.
And volunteers in many cases are supporting veterans for their service. And also, you have a large number of veterans who are volunteering at the Wiley. I don't know what percentage, but...
I was going to ask about the website, the webpage.
Yeah, I should know that, shouldn't
I?
Yeah, but if you just...
If you Google Chalmers P. Wiley,
okay,
Ambulatory Care Center,
okay,
should be the first one that pops up, and we
Or even Columbus VA.
Yeah, I think we can add some new updates to it, too.
Yeah, the website is being redesigned, and it's looking really good. There'll be a calendar of events so that you can just click on what's going on. And we have a Facebook that's being updated.
That's what I was about to say. We are getting more and more engaged with our Facebook page, our Twitter, and our Instagram.
Okay.
And our regular website, as Heather just said.
That'll be good. That's good. Yes. I know I had a question about, you mentioned integrative medicine, and we're really into that. And I wondered, how do people access that? They go to their primary health care?
So typically, it depends on what they're wanting. So there's two types of divide to that. It could be treatment-based or wellness-based. Typically, treatment-based modalities may be things like yoga, acupuncture,
okay,
chiropractic services, things like that may require a consult from a provider.
Sure, sure.
So those are the things that are going to be treatment-based that would need a consult, which would go through primary care.
Sure.
Typically, primary care, I say they're kind of the gatekeeper.
Sure, sure.
There are other options like yoga, tai chi, at which the veteran can call me, 614-388-7141,
right,
and I can get you signed into the next open yoga or tai chi options.
Nice.
We have a new LPN that's starting up some massage therapy, and because of the option of choice, you can also if we don't have it, we can provide that to you out in the community.
Wonderful.
It's really awesome.
It's very important.
Let's go around the circle or the horn in terms of identifying yourself again after giving all this valuable information, and then we're close to closing. So you want to start?
Okay. Yes. So Jessica Horseman, I'm the Pain Social Work Coordinator and also the Whole Health Point of Contact.
Prince Taylor, Deputy Director for Voluntary Service and also Acting Voluntary Service Chief in Columbus and Acting Public Affairs Officer in Columbus.
Heather Seymour, social worker and creative arts coordinator of the Veterans Arts Initiative. And I just want to thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
Well, we're delighted. We did this last year, and we're doing it again this year. And hopefully we'll be here next year. We'll do it again because we think the veteran care is very important. And I can just personally say that we met in undergraduate school. Along with other friends, we married one another, became a close-knit group through the years, and many went to Vietnam, and there were Agent Orange byproducts. And every fella that was a part of our couples group has been impacted, and some are here. And some are not here. But the thread, as we talk about this show today, has been VA, has been care at the Wiley Center, having advocates to pull together services for them. And so in my life as a spouse, and in our lives as a part of a couple circle, that a very, very successful young men and women who had no idea what the 60s had in store for us down the road. We're very thankful for Wiley. We're very thankful for the care that you and the center have given our friends and many, many veterans. So we know personally and still are getting the benefits of it. We know how important the Wiley P. Chalmers Center is to everyone. So we're glad to get the word out, to help get the word out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. And again, you have been a part of this show on Faith and Family on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. And you can listen to this on podcast, but the most important thing is thank you for your service today and your help in getting this word out to other advocates. And it's important information that you're sharing.
Radio, the way it should be heard.